So, we are up to the Moadim section, the more arcane Moadim sections. Today, hopefully, I think we're going to actually try to finish two sugyas today.
What is arcane?
Arcane means, like, out there, not so commonly talked about. We're going to try to finish two sugyas today. These two sugyas are pretty short, and we may even start the third sugya, possibly. We'll see how much time we have. So let's just jump right into it. Gebrachos, right? What is Gebrachos?
It's when you mix matzah.
Okay, right. Basically, when you soak matzah in liquid, and it comes soggy, so that's some form of Gebrachos. So there, if a person holds up Gebrachos, what can't you do on Pesach?
Anything.
More specifically, matzah balls, matzah and cream cheese, matzah and anything.
Matzah
dipping,
even if you don't know.
Dipping matzah in your soup.
Matzah
right?
Pizza, matzah fry.
Right, basically anything on matzah. Matzah with anything basically becomes us. What is this based on? Or is this based on anything? It's probably a better question to ask.
Is it the fashash that it
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Take a look. Guys, take a look at the top page 77. We have the Gemara Pesachim. It says the Gemara Pesachim. Yotzin Merakik Asharim Mavusha Shalini Rav Devi Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, I can be Yotzin Mechiv Matzah on Pesach with what's called a Rakik Asharim, a wafer that is soaked in a liquid and with a wafer cooked in something as long as it hasn't dissolved. Rav Yossi Omer Yotzin Rav Kasharim have a little bit of Mavusha Afafi Shalini Rav. Rav Yossi says only with the soaked wafer. Not with the cooked. We spoke about this more briefly in an earlier sugya. We were discussing the distinction of tam matzah. We spoke about this briefly earlier, but now we're going to focus a little bit more on it. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Yotze Adem B'matzah Shriya V'hu Shalom Yimlocha, V'lim B'shleinu Yotze. So Shulchan Aruch basically quotes Reb Yossi, you can be Yotze with a soaked piece of matzah if it hasn't dissolved, but the cooked piece of matzah, you cannot be Yotze. Says the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura qualifies the statement of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes that this din, the heter to soak matzah in liquid, only works for a person who's a zakin or a chola. In other words, if a person is not physically able to get down the matzah without soaking it in a liquid, then we assume that even lecharchila, he can soak it. But if a person can't do it without soaking it, and the real lecharchila, he shouldn't do it. Now, Mishnah Brura also points out that there's a machlokes if you're allowed to have matzah that's dunked in other liquids, meaning other than water, right? Some sort of fruit juice. And therefore, as a result, the Mishnah Brura says that we're only mikel on the shayla when it comes to a zakin or a chola. Right? In other words, since we have a suffix, a machlokes, but had a paskin, we're only mikel when it comes to a zakin or a chola. However, Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the Rishonim, Mishnah Brura quotes. No, it means for any chola. Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the Rishonim, the Mishnah Brura quotes, that din only applies for being shorek. In other words,
could you bring shorek olive for a scoop of any of you go to a Sefer night here?
Yes.
You know, first of all, it's 8 o'clock in classroom 1, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. And what was...
Okay, guys, the Mishnah Brura, guys, back in. The Mishnah Brura quotes from Rabbeinu Manoach that din of soaking the matzah is only true when it comes to dafka to soak. However, when it comes to dipping, if I'm going to be dipping my matzah, so then he says that's okay. Why? Because dipping the matzah is not mevatel the tam. We spoke about this earlier. One of the issues of having matzah that's dunked in liquid is that you're losing the tam matzah.
Right.
If my matzah is only dipped in a liquid as opposed to soaked in a liquid, so Rabbeinu Manoach says, then it's going to be okay. However, Rabbeinu Manoach points out that kula is only true when you dunk the entire thing in water. But if you do it in small pieces, then he says you're not going to be yotze because they are, as small as the pieces are, the proportion of the water to the small pieces of matzah is going to make it lose the tam. And the Mishnah Brura writes in the Maskana that a person should really not even be shora the matzah, even to a cliché, even if there's no chashad of bishul, technically speaking, you should not dunk it into any sort of water.
Shame.
Don't talk to me about your chumras of the Urayim.
No,
we're not getting back to
the
chumras.
The Mishnah Brura holding
a what?
There's nothing.
He's holding up the chumra cliche that everyone else on the planet also holds up. Yes. He's holding up the Urayim more than everyone else holds up to. Good. Good. Says the Shari Tshuva. Okay, the Shari Tshuva is a pair. This is not Rabbeinu Yonah. This is a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch. Shari Tshuva just quotes a story from the Knesset Hagadolah. The story was that there was a woman who used to bake, who used to use regular flour to bake her sufganin on Pesach. Sufganin are not exactly sufganiyot, but something along those lines. Some sort of fried donut type thing, but apparently it was kosher Pesach. The reason why she did that was because she saw someone else, some other woman, who apparently was the wife of some big Talmud Chacham, also using this flour. And she thought, oh, it must be mutter to use like regular flour on Pesach. Well, meaning the problem was that this other woman was using like kemach shel matzah. She was using matzah flour, meaning to say the flour that had already been... Right, exactly. As opposed to this woman who really obviously didn't have any idea what the difference was. So she just assumed she could use regular flour. As a result of that, because of this chashad, when they come to use the wrong type of flour, you can't use any sort of flour lest you come to use the wrong type. That's the story that starts with the name of the Knesset HaGedolah. It's a rather long shot. If you look at the next page, you see how long
it is. The whole story made it very clear that like people are dunking things in water.
Let's finish the show before I tell you what I think. The Shari Tshuva continues in page 78, how long the Shari Tshuva, it's a very, very long piece. He continues to write that a person should not hold back from eating, let's say, this type of matzah, this type of flour. Why? He shouldn't sit for that. Let's say, I like this kind of flour for my matzah. Good. So it's three people sit for that. But, because if a person wants to be as Russian as, the Kaddish Aksmo, the Mutter, the Ikra Adin, it's really Mutter. But if a guy wants to go above and beyond the Ikra Adin and want to say, I want to stay far away from any Kashat Kibbutz, you can't yell at him for that. You can't say that it's a bad thing for him to do such a thing. Okay, go to page 79, guys. The Gra, the Maisa Rav. The Maisa Rav is the Sefer of Minhagim of the Gra, and strangely enough, it's a very authoritative Sefer. A lot of times, you find these Sefer Minhagim, they're very questionable how authoritative they are. Maisa Rav is quoted by Post all the time, for almost anything, for the most part. So on the Sefer Maisa Rav, which I'm Minhagim associated with the Gra writes explicitly, Mutter Lecho Machalim Tzavshilu Hasuim Mikemach Matzos Ve'in Lachosh Shemanisha Makom Shalom Nefe Yafe. He says, not a problem. Any food that was made, matzah flour, is totally mixed to eat. I don't have to be concerned that it wasn't cooked properly. I don't have to be concerned that water is going to get into it. None of the concessions that we know about the Brahms, he says, do we have to be concerned about any of those? The Derech Pikudecha, which is written by the author of the B'nai Yisraskar, he writes in the middle of page 79, he says that even for those people who are machmir for Gebrachs the rest of Pesach, on the last day of Pesach, an Acharot of Pesach, you don't have to be machmir. What kind of svara is that? In other words, you might have shot.
Well, like in America or in Israel?
No, obviously in Costa Rica. Meaning you might have shot. Either I hold of it or I don't hold it. Yeah, keep it. What's the svara to say, assuming that I think Gebrachs is a problem the rest of Pesach, why would I now think it's turn around and say it's Mutter on the last day of Pesach? Okay. You're focusing on the wrong side of the suffix. You're right. That's true. The suffix is, we don't know if the bus is a thing, right? The bus is very likely not a thing, right? Most likely not a thing, as we'll see coming up in a second. But losing to your thing, even if it's really a problem, you're dealing with Acharot Pesach, right? It's more than just an Acharot Pesach as a snake of the yoga. That's not the issue. If an Acharot Pesach, if I hold Gebrachs an Acharot Pesach, it shows that I think Gebrachs is real chametz. Because what am I not eating an Acharot Pesach? I'm not going to eat real chametz. But I would eat not real chametz. It's something that I don't consider to eat. If I don't eat Gebrachs an Acharot Pesach, it shows that I think Gebrachs is real chametz, right? It shows that I'm machshir Gebrachs as being something real. So that would be the emphasis. You can't do that. Even those who are machmir like Gebrachs don't think Gebrachs is the same thing as regular chametz. For sure not true, right? So you have to make sure to draw this distinction.
Now, source for Gebrachs.
What?
Have you been talking about Gebrachs this whole time?
Yeah. Confused. Yes, we have been talking about
Gebrachs. At the beginning, people were like, hey, you can dunk stuff in matzah, and then like,
right.
Correct. Someone's using a different flour.
There are two separate issues that are related to the same point. If the chashad of water getting into an air pocket in the food, you're also using flour that wasn't, let's say, shomer mishas lishon, it wasn't guarded properly to the point. In both of those cases, there's a concern. And number one, maybe the flour itself is chametz. And even if not, the water gets into the product and they make it chametz later on. Okay? Those are two different chashashas that are related to the same nekuda. Okay? Based on this distinction that we just drew, we said that on Acharon Shel Pesach, we're going to draw a distinction. So in the Sefer Darkei Chayim Mishal, he writes that based on that, when people eat the Gebrachs on Acharon Shel Pesach, you have to use different kelim for Gebrachs also. Because we know, he's focused on Shabbos a little bit, right? And how Gomez kelim the kid is, if I get chazir, if I get busted in my pot, I have to kosher the pot before I can eat anything off of it, right? He says, if I'm really convinced that Gebrucks is really a problem on the last day of Pesach. Any Gebrucks just to distinguish between today and the rest of Pesach. So that shows that I really have to use different kelim on the last day of Pesach as opposed to the rest of Pesach. Now, if you flip to page 80, okay, the Magen Avraham. He's not talking about the Brooks per se, he's talking about two places. No, yeah, Brooks is talking about Kaddash.
What is Kaddash?
Yes.
When you like grain that's being used, so we use that for the owner offering, and then when you bring it on Pesach, it allows all the grain from the past year to be allowed.
Good.
And so nowadays, that's not the same, so we just use Pesach time. So basically, all grain has to go through a Pesach to the next year.
So, okay, good. So for those people who hold their Kaddash, the Kaddash, maybe right then, how Kaddash becomes butcher, then I bring the carbon over on the 16th day of Nisan, I'm allowed to eat any new grain. That's it. I can't. Shtei Halakim is not the new grain for carbonos. Regular grain is mutter after you bring the carbon on there. Without the carbonos, Shtei Halakim on Shavuos is not that grain. But it's not as if we don't have an Omer or a Shtei Halakim. We don't have carbonos at all. The question becomes, am I allowed to eat Kaddash, am I allowed to eat the new grain? What's the issue? The Gemara says, well, we're afraid that maybe Mashiach will come, Eliyahu Nevi will come, he'll rebuild the Mizbeach, and now all of a sudden we chayav to bring a Korban Omer. Meaning, let's say for some reason, people forgot to bring the Korban Omer, they're taking the Nisbeach, right, towards the day, you cannot eat Kaddash until the Korban Omer is brought. That's what, if there's a Beis HaMikdash. The theory is that if Eliyahu Nevi comes and rebuilds the Mizbeach, and now I'm afraid to bring a Korban Omer, so it turns out that my friend, for the last 6 months, I've been eating Kaddash, the issue. Everyone agrees when there's a Mikdash, you're not allowed to eat Kaddash, that's for sure. The question is, what about Bas Mar Azeh? Is that a realistic hashash? Well, it's the money that brought
the answer retroactive.
What? Well, meaning, if Elio comes and now I'm a Chuyah than a Kremlin Omer, it's going to turn out that for the last however many months, I've been Kaddish Bias.
But you can't say, I know she has to come.
You obviously can't know. The question is, do I have to be concerned with that in the first place? That's the issue. So the money that brought my respect is, because like this. Even if I hold a Kaddish, even if Bas Mar Azeh Mach, Kaddish says, for sure, Kaddish will not shrafe on my pots. As much as I want to be machir about Kaddash, it will not shreif on my box. That's the first thing that he says. Why? Because he says, even if you want a kaina, you want to say the Kaddash with an Isra D'oraisa, it's highly questionable, as man has said, even if Kaddash with an Isra D'oraisa, he says, Kaddash would be bought the Bero. And he says, Chumri over here, where the Kaddash is not, it says only a Chumri. But the fact that we hold the Kaddash for us, it's just a Chumra, so it's going to be Batel, and therefore our path do not become shreifed up. Now, we know Magen Avraham is a further distinction. Within the halachos of Bikur Berurah, which we spoke about a little bit earlier this summer also, there's a distinction that's drawn between what's called min b'mino versus min b'she'ino. What does that mean? Min b'mino means I have two things that are of the same species, the same type. Again, makes it, for example, let's say I have two pieces of meat. One meat is kosher, one meat is cheap, but I don't know what's what. Right? So I have a huge, I mean, let's say I have an meat, not a chalk, a little piece of chaz, or a chalk. So there, let's say the chazu looks the same as everything else. I can't tell which is the chazu or the chazu. That's called min b'mino. Everything just mushed up together in a chazu. Min b'she'ino b'mino would mean that I have, I don't know, a piece of, let's say, I don't know, orla, right? So a fruit falls in my chazu. There's a clear distinction between the fruit and the chazu. That's called min b'she'ino b'mino. So everyone agrees that when it comes to min b'mino, then it's batel b'rok. At least we go raisa. The name is coming from the Rabbanah, mido raisa. Min b'mino is batel b'rok, mido raisa. When it comes to min b'she'ino, you know, if it's a different species, then you need the din of shishim. You have to have batel shishim in order to be mabatel something which is shishim. Anybody know, by the way, this is Derech Agav, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, in the Dara, and a few other pretty people also. There's a machlokas in the Yehuda Chachamim regarding the status of bittul when it comes to min b'mino. There's a machlokas whether we assume min b'mino batel or min b'mino eno batel. Okay, but the Chachamim say that min b'mino is batel. I have one min, another min, so if I have, I have bittul b'ro. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Anybody know what the source for Rabbi Yehuda's din is? It's a very, very strange source. Rabbi Yehuda says, how do I know that min b'mino eno batel? I know from Avodah Sola Kippur. By Avodah Sola Kippur, the Torah says the following. The Kohen Gadol, when he does Avodah, when he says Mikdash, B'lakach midam ha-bar midam ha-seir. So ask the Gemara Kasha. The dam of fire, there's a lot more dam from the fire than from the sire. So if I follow the rules of Bittul Berurah, I shouldn't even be mashed the dam of sire as anything. The dam of sire should be Bittul Berurah. So says from here, the fact that the Torah even bothers to mention the dam of sire shows you that min b'mino ain't b'tel. Because otherwise, the dam of fire so far outweighs dam of sire that it shouldn't even mention dam of sire in the first place. That's what he's mutter for min b'mino ain't b'tel. Might be a pasuk like Yehuda, but that's the mucker version. Just an interesting point that everyone holds. Say again?
Yeah. old bottle of wine.
No, he holds it in the middle of the cup. And he holds it in the middle.
Wait, and mean not the Mino? There is.
The Mino, everyone holds it because of the Mino.
It makes no sense.
Why not?
How could you say that if they look the same, then there's no Bato, but if they don't look the same, then there is Bato? That's backwards logic.
No, it's not, because it's not Bato Baru. There's still a higher standard of fitting, even though Shish. In other words, understand I'm Bato Baru. If I have a little tiny oil of food, and I have a gigantic Chobot,
but if I couldn't distinguish it, then never bustle. That makes
sense. That's a different question. That's a question we're not going to talk about. There's a question about if I have a way to clarify a suffix, or clarify, if I can avoid relying on Fitzgerald, am I looking to do it? That's a Shane Schweitzer question. That's not a question for anyone. Okay. Now, says Ravaja in Ichabadas, bottom of page 8, Ravaja wants to know. He says, is there a basis for this minhag of the Bruchs? Did some guy just make it up? And Lu Yitzuyar, that this is a made up minhag, which it probably is, if this is a made up minhag, he says, then we be mevato this minhag. Let's say there's a guy who holds the brush, and he says, I don't want to hold the brush again. He says, yeah, he's going to need to stop following. What's the deal? So says Ravaj, he quotes the Ravan, one of the early Rishon, one of the Balei Tosfos. Ravan says, the brush, splutter, this is as the brush, go eat whatever you want, it's totally mugged. That's the Ravan. Now, he says, he further points out that those people. He's quoting this from the Ravan, one of the Rishon. He says, those people who don't get matzah in soup, why would you not get matzah in soup if it's not because of the brush? Well, guys, what would be another svara? No, meaning, if I didn't hold up the brush.
Official.
Say a little better, say a little better.
Well, if you hold.
No, I want to hear your rail again. No, don't tell me official svara, not official svara, but tell me what about just today. And the official svara also. Ha-matzah, right? Ha-matzah. The reason why I can't get off the soup is not because of the brush. It's not because of cliche.
Yeah, but what about when you're not doing the mitzvah?
Okay, good. So according to this svara, you're right. According to this svara, if I'm eating my 12th desires of matzah, I've already been yotzei my mitzvah, and a chanan, maybe I can give it a soup even the chanan. Maybe. That's the first thing I'm about to point out. Then he quotes, fine. Now he says, you're allowed to undo a mitzvah. Why? He says, you can even undo the minhag without doing any hataras and dar. I can stop keeping the brush if I want.
So wait,
why?
Excellent.
So what is this based on? The Gemara in the Darim, guys, the Gemara in the Darim draws the following distinction, okay? Let's say I'm keeping a minhag, which I believe to be was a correct minhag. And I find out that really the whole minhag is made up. The whole minhag is shtus. So what he calls a minhag because, the made up, the incorrect minhag. If I find out that a minhag I believe to be a real minhag is not really a real minhag, I would not do a Hataras HaDaris. The whole minhag was dissipated into thin air, I don't have to keep it anymore. However, let's say I know that the brux is not a real thing, but I choose to keep it anyway. I say, you know what? I know it's not real, but I want to be mine. Then you can't just undo it. Then you need to do a Hataras. Because there, you're masking, you know the minhag isn't real, but you're doing it anyway. If my whole, my keeping of this minhag is based on an incorrect assumption, that shows that my whole keeping of the minhag was flawed to begin with. But if I knew exactly what the minhag was, I just chose to keep it, then in order for me to undo that minhag, I would need to be more vado, I would need to do a formal hataras to the minhag.
Yeah. You can do hataras to the minhag for stuff?
Of course. I'll give you an example, a personal example. Davening Vasikin, what's the reason why, according to some Akronim, we'll get to this thing a little bit later in the summer, what's the reason why if you daven Vasikin every day, something you even you would have to daven Vasikin via Fidus? It's a form of Hataras Nedar, it's a form of a net. Now, was anyone Makabel Nedar? Probably not. But when you do something for long enough, it's Ki'ilu you keep up a net, right? It takes on that stand after a while, okay? So there, again, if it was just a minute because you just literally had no idea, then it just dissipates into thin air. But if you knew exactly what the minute was based on and you chose not to do it, then you have to do a formal hatara for doing all of them. What?
Which can be in that?
That's even more than the rocks, right? I mean, I don't know. Different families
have been in the Baal Shem.
My grandmother on my mom's side, she keeps kibbutz, but my grandfather doesn't. So even though she married him, she still keeps kibbutz. But we think that my grandfather's originally from Belgium. We think that they did hold to kibbutz, but because his parents died in the war.
issue with the bros, they were so big they thought it would put the matzah further than the 18 pots if you dipped it in a liquid.
Well, part of the issue with that was if the water gets into an air pot, get an air bubble in the food, then there's a concern that maybe it'll get cooked.
That was the issue with the bros. But nowadays the matzah's not that thick.
Correct. Our matzahs are paper thin.
Yes, my name is Fardy. I'm so happy. Okay.
Any minnow guy like that could be good.
No. Any minnow that you're keeping that it turns out that it's completely based on incorrect assumption.
I thought it was
minnow. It depends on the type of minnow. It's a family minnow, like a personal, it depends on the type of minnow that you're keeping. What? Yeah, the Gemara in the Dor talks about it. Yeah, exactly.